The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Through the years, we all remember when we first witnessed a national tragedy.
Alabama wins!
We remember the good times and the bad times through either a song,
who's bad?
A TV show, a monumental sports achievement.
For the first time in 86 years, the Red Sox have won baseball's world championship. Can you believe it?
Or even the smell of a particular food from when we were young.
To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
Welcome to the show that will take you on a journey through time to relive those iconic moments. Welcome to RTW Rewind, where old school rules. So, without any further delay, let's introduce you to the host of the show, Rad Rob Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. This is day two of the third annual Rad Rumble. 7 days of unique content leading up until this Sunday's WWE Royal Rumble. I am joined by a very special guest. She has just joined the Rad Rob Radio Network, syndicating her show, the Marie Shadows Squared Circle podcast. It is the aforementioned Marie Shadows. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm doing well. Good to have you here. We're here to talk some Royal Rumble. But first, before we do that, for my listeners that may not know who you are, I want to just do a little bit of background history on you. When did you first become a wrestling fan?
I always say I became a wrestling fan when I was like seven. My dad got me started on like NWA, IWA, Mid-South, and like all the old school wrestling territories. So it just grew from there. And then, you know, I do everything now.
You do everything. You watch way more than I do because I've said on this show several times, I can't stomach the current product, especially WWE. For a lifelong fan, you know, for the last 35 years, I grew up in Connecticut, so as a WWE homer, and I can't watch anymore. I'll watch clips on YouTube. Obviously, I watch the pay-per-views, but man, the it's tough to get through those Raws sometimes.
It could be, yeah.
SmackDown's been on the up and up lately, and obviously that's has a lot to do with Roman Reigns. Right now, I think he's the best thing going in wrestling today. Do you actually watch WWE, or you just cover AEW, New Japan?
I basically have WWE on as background noise. Yeah. When I need to, right. If I need to do other work, I just have it there to sort of keep up with like everything, but I don't include it like on my show or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. you are a former WWE employee. You work for the WWE Network. How did you get involved with them?
Okay, so before I did that, I was working at a place called Spyscape. So here in New York City, we have this spy museum where you go around and try to figure out what kind of spy you are. So my coworker, who was friends with one of the recruiters at WWE, was like, hey, you know, they're looking for like more people to do this job. Mm-hmm. I've always talked about I love wrestling. So she thought of me. She introduced me to her, and then we just started talking. I did the application process. They gave me the call back. They were like, hey, can you come in for the interview? And I went to the Metro North that we have here to take the train all the way to Connecticut, got off, walked my ass in the summer to the production place, and just waited until they called me into like the little area, and then like explain the process, and then like that's how I got in.
Wow, I mean that's right place, right time, I guess. I mean, you know, it doesn't happen that way. Yeah. For a lot of people. A lot of people wish they can get into the company and never do. Yep. How long did you actually work there for?
I was only there for 3 months, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And you were part of the cuts back in October last year. Is that correct?
No. I was, I guess you could say, cuts in 2018 because I started in 2018 and then they let me go.
I got you,
3 days, 3 months later. So I guess the first round of cuts. I don't know.
I got you. Okay. I'm sorry. I got my notes wrong. I'm old.
No, that's cool.
So 2018. So it still was a WWE Network at that point. So you didn't get. Yeah. You didn't have to worry about the Peacock transition. What were you doing there? What were your daily duties?
So every day was like an 8-hour work shift. They made a special like room for us because they had rented out more office space a little bit further away from the actual headquarters. Mm-hmm. So we were by like a marina. So we could like see boats in the water. But like every day we'll come to work, you'll sit down at your cubicle. You'll go through orientation, the expectations that they want from you, what you're going to be watching. So I watched WWE programming like 8 hours a day, strengthening the SEO for you guys. So when you're searching for something in particular, it pops up. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see like John Cena matches, all his matches should like pop up. If you wanted to see like ladder matches, anything with the word ladder in it will pop up. So we just helped to make that stronger.
I love the WWE Network. I wish they didn't change over to Peacock because so far it's kind of been okay for me. I love the way the network was structured. In the beginning, it was rough, but once they worked out the bugs and all that, they really had a good streamlined app, which I loved, and hopefully we'll go back to that someday. But so did they give you a reason why they're letting you go?
Let's just say that I usually tell people it's budget cuts, but they were like, you messed up on 3 days worth of logs. And I was like, wow. There's way more people that have been messing up way more than me.
Yeah.
And I know your product way more, but I didn't really get into it because it was sort of weird. They played good cop, bad cop with me. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, all right, cool. You know, cool.
Yeah, I've heard it's a crazy place to work. I mean, what were some of the craziest things that happened while you were there? I heard about the Chris Benoit story about, you know, how 1 week he was into search, the next week he wasn't.
Yeah. That by far is like the most craziest one. Mm-hmm. Because it was sort of getting annoying of like, you know, week after week, it was like, you know, can we do this? Can we not? All right, cool. Whatever you guys say. the other one is like, I always like the Bullet Club story that I tell, which I don't know if you heard it. Have you heard it?
I haven't, no.
Okay, so this was during a time when we were talking about WCW. We're all like huddled together, and on the screen, it's basically NWO inside of the ring. You have Eric Bischoff, you have Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan just finishes promo, and then like they go into suite. So one of my coworkers was basically like, oh, so they, meaning the Young Bucks, stole the two suite sign. Me being a diehard wrestling fan, like wrestling across the board is everything to me. I'm not just one in particular for like loyalty.
Yeah.
I basically said, you know, Kevin Nash was the one that basically said it was okay for the Young Bucks to use it. And I said this right after the boss that was there, he's no longer there, mm-hmm. Basically agreed with a coworker. And then I jumped in with the Kevin Nash thing. And then I was told that, you know, you can't tell Marie anything because she's a Young Bucks fan. and I really gave him a sharp look until like my coworker was like, don't say anything, don't reply back. Yeah. And, you know, also for like the 3 months I was there, that Young Bucks book bag that you find in like Hot Topic that says we rule the world, mm-hmm. I brought that with me every day to work. So, you know, there was just like some stuff there, but like the Bullet Club story is my favorite one. But nothing like too crazy mm-hmm. after that. You know, I did all the networking I could when we had like downtime or like during lunchtime and stuff like that. When we had like a happy hour on like a Friday where like Vince paid for like all of our food and drinks.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I was out there networking, giving out my cards and be like, I'm this person. I do this. I do that. So, you know, I don't have any regrets.
No, that's good. I mean, it's good stories and it's good that you did get out there and network and make contacts. That's a smart thing to do. And you always have it on your resume, your former WWE employee. So that gets you a lot of clout in the wrestling circle for sure.
it does.
Well, I mean, was it cool to work there? Like, were you like as a mark? Like, you know, did you fangirl out because you're in WWE? You know, you're in the company.
Yeah, man. Like I was happy, even though like I had to wake up here because I live in New York City to go travel every day, Monday through Friday over there.
Yeah,
I had to wake up here maybe like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning just to get there on time.
Wow.
But like, it's one of those feelings of, you know, I do it because I love it.
Yeah.
And it's because it's WWE. And that's been my dream since I was like 7 and whatnot. And I remember like sharing the news with my dad. about it because he was the one that was always pushing me to be like, yo, keep bothering them. You'll get it. You'll get there. And I finally did. And I got to share that with him. But other than that, like, yeah, even walking in to just do the interview and just seeing how everything was and seeing like a John Cena cutout board in the back of the door mm-hmm. and, just having people look at their like cubicles and they have like action figures of wrestlers like on their desk and everything. Yeah. Like, yeah, I was like marking out no matter what.
That's so cool. Hey, I'm jealous. I like, you know, I grew up in Connecticut, you know, I grew up 20 minutes south of Hartford and, like I said, I was a WWE homer, you know, going to shows at Hartford Civic Center. I'd go to Providence. I'd go to Boston. I only went to New York once. Actually, it's mm-hmm. funny. It's a funny story. I was supposed to have tickets for WrestleMania 20 at the Garden. And, I mean, God, that was a while ago. So the internet was kind of just, you know, in its infancy. And I had bought tickets from somebody on eBay from the UK. And I got shafted on it. I never got the tickets. I spent like $200. And back then, you know, you weren't guaranteed refunds or anything like that. So I lost my money. Wow. But I did have hard copy tickets to the bagels, biceps, and breakfast, or, you know, the little brunch that they had in the morning down the street from the Garden. So I was able to go to that, but so bummed out that I couldn't go to see WrestleMania at the Garden. But, yeah, that sucks. That's back in the day when the consumer wasn't protected and he didn't know who you're buying from. And I had sent him a money order too. Yeah. So that was my bad. But I did actually get to go to, two WrestleManias. I went to WrestleMania 14 in Boston and I went to WrestleMania 27, in Atlanta, which was god awful. That was so bad. That was the Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler match with Stone Cold. Oh, that was so brutal to watch. what pay-per-views have you been to? Have you been to any major pay-per-views, in your wrestling fan career?
I know that I've went to a bunch of WWE live shows at Madison Square Garden. Did I ever go to any pay-per-views? I know, like, I went to, like, I guess we could consider the Ring of Honor pay-per-views mm-hmm. When they used to come here to Manhattan, to the Manhattan Center, so I did that. Let's see. So Ring of Honor, WWE, and then, like, my local indies mm-hmm. That were here in, like, New York City and, like, in Jersey. So I went to, like, Evolve shows and, like, helped them out with, like, Ring Crew and, like, that's cool. Ticket ushers and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So I was behind the scenes. Yeah, I just don't have anything popping up at me at the moment about, like, pay-per-views, except for, like, Ring of Honor stuff.
Interesting. So no Raws, no SmackDowns, nothing like that.
I mean, like, Raw and SmackDown house shows live, yeah, for, yeah. like, when they came to Madison Square Garden, but not pay-per-views.
I guess
I might have to, like, get back to you on that, but yeah.
Well, I know the relationship between WWE and MSG has changed over the years. I mean, that used to be pretty much the place they went to, you know, almost every month or every other month back in the 80s, and from what I hear, maybe it's too expensive to rent out the building, or I don't know what had happened between Vince and the management over at MSG, but you're right, they don't go there too much anymore. I mean, they used to have a lot of pay-per-views there, Raws there, but now it's almost like once every year, maybe once every couple of years. So it's unfortunate you kind of fall into that bracket of being a little bit too late of when they ran there consistently. But I heard from a mutual friend we have, Duke, from Duke Loves mm-hmm. Wrestling. He says you have pretty good contacts with MLW.
I really enjoy MLW. They gave me the chance and the opportunity to do media press mm-hmm. for Fightland, and that was amazing. I was marking out for that whole thing. and to know that I was going to be at the ECW arena, mm-hmm. I was basically saying that, like, I made it just because it's one of those iconic moments.
Right.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to share that with my dad because he had passed away last year from like, you know, just passing away in his sleep. So I wasn't able to share that with him, but I knew that, you know, he would be happy that I continued to do what I wanted to do ever since I was like a little girl. But just working with MOW, making sure that I talk about their shows on my podcast, reviewing it, giving the fans a little bit of an insight of, like, you know, these are why the guys are fighting, breaking down the matches, and just doing all that I can to put over MOW and other companies.
That's really well. First of all, I'm sorry to hear about your dad. That's always hard to go through. But that's cool. You've been able to cultivate that relationship with MLW. I'm friends with Marshall and Ross Von Erich, two really, really good dudes. So I do enjoy watching MLW. I hope they can get bigger at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, Court Bauer is really... Have you had relations with Court Bauer?
I mean, the only time that I ever did was ask him a question during the media call, which I was like, I was super happy because whenever I'm on the AEW media calls, like my question never gets asked or picked up. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I had the chance with Court and I was like, oh, my God, I hear my name. All right. So here's my question.
Yeah.
But that's like the only thing. I know he's a busy man, but I do appreciate like any type of opportunity with him or with anyone else.
Yeah, he's a really cool dude, and that's cool you're on the AEW media calls too as well. I know those can go pretty long sometimes when Tony's on them, but it's hopefully one of your questions gets through one of these times.
Hopefully, man.
Yeah, are you on any WWE media calls or do you kind of just stay away from?
I don't even know how to get on that one. Gotcha. I mean, I don't really cover WWE like that. I mean, I tell my stories, but you know, that's it.
Yeah, I got you. So I'm kind of hot and cold on AEW. I enjoyed it at first, but then to me, just the booking kind of went downhill. I hope they can pull it back around. They have plenty of talent there. How do you feel about them signing former WWE talent and kind of pushing their, I guess their homegrown talent or the people that got them there to begin with kind of to the side? Doesn't seem like a smart business plan.
I mean, I really just don't like it because then it gets really saturated and then it feels like you're not creating any fresh new stories, right? Because you're just taking somebody that their contract just ended in WWE and just pushing them back into the main event spot in under a different banner, a different company name, and there's no like freshness to it.
Right.
It's like we're getting the same character, the same story, and even rehashing stuff from like the 2000 eras when like the Young Bucks and Adam Cole were part of, you know, Ring of Honor, and then you have Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly part of Ring of Honor. And you know, while I do want to see everyone succeed, I don't think that's the right way to go about it. I always think that when you're done with WWE and you have that like stigma of being there and being controlled because it's like you got to follow a script.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sometimes wrestlers should take a breather, you know, travel a little bit, relax a little bit, maybe go to New Japan Pro Wrestling to get something fresh underway.
Yep.
You know, New Japan Strong would definitely like accept you there. MLW has the free agent door that's always revolving. Have a couple matches there, build up your credibility again.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that they lost it, but it's the fact of build it up so that way you can have a fresh new story. And then when you come into AEW, maybe you could do some, I don't know, like directing or whatever and like, you know, become fresh.
Right.
Like, I don't see the appeal of what it feels like every single week we're seeing WWE guys on there rather than the homegrown guys. Like, the homegrown guys have to work around the story that, like, the ex-WWE guys are trying to tell, but it's not really fresh. There's nothing new about it. And then, you know, the wrestling community complains to WWE about nostalgia acts, and yet then we're having rehashes and nostalgia acts on AEW, and like I don't see why people are not complaining about that and they give that a pass. Like, I just don't get it. I really don't. I want everyone to succeed across the board, but this is not how you do it. This is not how you create fresh stories.
I agree, and especially when you got a guy like Adam Cole, who, you know, was the guy in NXT. I mean, the hardest worker, had the best matches, and now he's just kind of lost in the shuffle with, you know, with Fish and O'Reilly, and even before that with the Elite, just kind of being the just hanging around, being a lackey. It's like, I mean, I know he's enjoying himself, and maybe, look, maybe that's all that matters. Like, what the hell do we know? Like, we're not working there. It's not our career. It's not our lives. But as fans, it's like, true. God, Adam Cole is so good. Why don't they have him in the top spot?
It's true, but the other fact that you got to look at is that when we come back to, like, this roundtable and we talk about these guys, what are we really going to talk about? That's, like, nothing that's not different from, like, their WWE run that may look similar to what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we should be talking about guys that have, unfortunately, my brain is like, to use the phrase, move the needle.
Yeah.
But it kind of applies here because, like, again, when we come back to this roundtable, what exactly are we going to talk about that is going to define your career?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, people might get upset at me when I say this, but because Adam Cole was in NXT and he built up NXT and the Undisputed Era, that is his like defining moment, unfortunately.
True.
I don't remember too much of his Ring of Honor days. I do know that he was like champion. He was in Bullet Club.
Yep.
Not as a leader though, right, but as a person there.
Right.
But like again, his WWE days, his NXT days defined him. AEW is not gonna do it if he's not gonna do anything fresh.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right about that. I'm also a big Aleister Black fan, or Malakai Black, and you know, he comes in hot. And then, you know, does a job for Cody, who's hardly ever around anymore. That's another one where I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't either, man. I really don't. I've ranted enough about Cody on my own show, and I'm just tired of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I even had a question, especially his recent promo that he did, and he loves throwing out the phrase of, you know, for the past 20 years, we have been conditioned for X, Y, and Z. Bro, you still come out to a ladder, walking up the ladder, showing off your title belt, and you say that we're conditioned for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't get that. Like, I know he's probably working me and he's working everybody, but to consistently come out and be like, dear fan, you have been conditioned, and this is what you gotta, like, learn and memorize. Like, we're already going through enough by trying to, like, you know, not have any more social divide, and yet then you're like, hey, look at this. Yeah. You guys got to break out of this, but yet then you're climbing a ladder that the same tactics that WWE does, and you're still doing the WWE gimmick.
Yep.
Sir, like, who's really, like, being controlled for the past 20 years?
True, true.
It bothers me.
And he has, the biggest entrance of anybody else. Like, he doesn't come out through the tunnel. He's got to come out through the big thing in the middle, and there's fireworks all over the place, and it's all about Cody, and yeah, it's almost like they're just, like, he's John Cena light, and they're just feeding him guys, you know, just to make him just look good and get over. Because, I mean, not only is he in his, you know, his late father's shoes to fill, he's got his brother's shoes to fill, too. And I guess he kind of had a chip on his shoulder from his WWE run, and he wants to be the guy. He feels like he is the best one to be in that company. The fact that he couldn't compete for the AEW title anymore. Come on.
Yeah. I was just gonna add on that, like, you know, it's fine that Cody wants to be the guy, like, to carry the company. That's fine. But you're not gonna do it if you keep wrestling the same way. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna do it if you're gonna keep having like stale, I don't want to say promos, but like just stale stories, mm-hmm, where they don't go anywhere. And then, like, you know, he really was intriguing when he was telling the fans why he wouldn't turn heel. And, like, you know, the beginning part of his promo, I was like, good, we're finally going somewhere. You got me. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle, it's like, what? And then at the end, it's like, oh, okay, you want a match. But it's fine that he wants to be the guy of the company. I just think he has to change up his wrestling style, change up his finishers, change up any, like, his signatures, keep the guy guessing, like, be a different Rhodes.
Yeah.
Because Dusty was his own way, and people fell in love with him because he was the common man. He basically, like, you felt like he was family.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Dustin is the natural, and he had amazing matches in WCW with amazing wrestlers. Yep. And then he decided to do Goldust, and Goldust definitely defines his career. Yes. No matter what.
Yep.
Cody, I don't know what exactly defines his career.
That's right.
You know, I'm still trying to figure that out. He's good at what he does, but he could be a little bit better.
No, I agree. No, I absolutely agree. Like, he doesn't have an identity.
Yeah.
Really. Like, it's not, we don't know what he's trying to be. You know, the American Nightmare thing is cool, but obviously it's a playoff to American Dreams. I'm like, he hasn't come up with really anything original. I mean, he was even Stardust, for crying out loud. So I feel like he really hasn't found a gimmick that fits him. So maybe he'd just be himself. Just crank up the volume. I mean, it worked for Stone Cold, it worked for a lot of other people. I just don't think he's comfortable in his own skin right now. I don't know where the disconnect is. But you're right.
I don't know either.
What do you think of his wife?
Man.
You don't have to answer that.
I just think that she should stop trying so hard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a difference between being your authentic self and then trying to piggyback off of stereotypes to try to get that, you know, demographic in to be like, oh my God, you know, she's my favorite and whatnot. You know, I said it before, whether I'm talking with other people or like on my show, you know, sometimes it's okay if you're not that good at wrestling. Totally okay.
Right.
Because I'll leave you guys with this thing. I tried wrestling, okay? Right after WWE let me go, I went right back into training. Mm-hmm. It didn't last that long. And I knew that, you know, the little girl in me that wanted to actually be a wrestler and not too much of a writer, I knew that that wasn't going to happen, and I accepted it, and I'd rather do other things behind the scenes. It's okay to not be a wrestler, especially if, like, you know, you're not that good and you don't have that rhythm. Because right. Wrestlers have a certain rhythm. If you're able to move right, do it right, you know, you can still train and do it. But if you don't have that rhythm, it's going to look bad. It's going to look weird. And then if all you're doing is gloating in the ring and taunting in the ring, how good are you really, you know?
True.
You know, I like the way of people playing to their strengths and not so much of their weaknesses, even though you can improve on your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. But, you know, play to your strengths. She's an amazing ring announcer. She could be an amazing backstage personality where, like, she has a developing character. Mm-hmm. And get on people who, like, maybe cheat and be like, sir, why did you cheat in your last match? Like, that's not, you know, wrestling. Like, it's supposed to be honorable. Like, you know, play a character up to tell stories.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically like what I think about Brandy. And like, it's nothing personal to her. It's nothing personal to Cody, but sometimes like, if you can't wrestle, you know, for you not to get hurt. Cause like, if you overthink it and shit, you could get hurt. Someone else could get hurt. It's okay. It's okay. You're still in the business. You're still doing something else. It's just not putting your body through like excruciating pain.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And you know, to me, she comes off as really unlikable sometimes, especially when she gets on Twitter and kind of mouths off, which seems to be going on a lot lately with AEW stars. Just don't know when to put the phone down. You know, you don't see this coming from a lot of other companies. Why do you think the AEW talent are just they should just delete their Twitters? I mean, I have no other way to put it, but like sometimes what you're thinking shouldn't be put out there.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. There's certain protocols to where, like, you know, you might have to pick and choose what trolls you want to go after.
Right.
Because, you know, not every troll, like, means to be a troll. And then, like, when you get all that negativity, like, influx in, you kind of think everyone is a troll and everyone is against you.
Yeah.
But I really do think that they do need a social media team. I'm available to help out with that if you guys want to.
That's right.
because, you know, it kind of makes their company look bad. It makes their people look bad. And you can tell that, yeah, this was built on the backs of, like, hardcore fans. But at the same time, you know, just don't pay attention to idiots that just want to provoke you and stuff.
Yeah.
The only one, I'll say it here, the only one that I'll give a pass to is Kenny Omega because, you know, for years people have went after him and like repeated the same garbage shit that Cornette like was saying about him. Yeah. So I give Kenny a pass just because it's like it's really not fair to him. I don't give Tony Khan a pass only because you know you just don't bury a person.
Right.
At all. You just don't do it.
Yep.
No matter like what you feel, if they're not in the company anymore, you don't bury the person and change the narrative. Because you didn't want to like start the process of like, oh, maybe she's right. Oh, maybe we can improve here and there. Maybe we should make changes. Like, yeah. You don't bury somebody that's like selfless. And I did a whole rant about it and stuff like that.
Yeah, I heard that.
You know.
I did.
Yeah. But I don't think that AEW wrestlers should delete their Twitter. I just think that the wrestling community should be a little bit more mindful to what they say and how they say it and how they approach it. The same way with the wrestlers too. You know, if the wrestlers want, you know, just tweet for the day of like, hey, I have this match coming up, and then like turn the notifications off on your iPhone or Android and don't pay attention to it. Like your real people, your real friends will text you or call you and be like, hey, what's going on for the day? You know?
No, to me, and I've had trolls come after me too, and sometimes I let my temper get the best of me, but for the most part, and I've learned this a lot from Brad Shepard, is don't sell it. There's no reason, and especially if you're a star, if you're talent, there's no reason to sell it. I mean, they'll just piss people off more if you don't answer them. Because some people want you to, you know, they want to bully you. They want a reaction out of you. They're just trying to goad you along. But if you don't sell it, then you just take the power back. And that's where I think a lot of them have to have patience and just, look, it's just people giving you a hard time, trying to give you shit. Just don't answer them.
Yeah, pretty much. I totally agree with that. You know, because eventually, like, the people who are negative are not really going to buy your merch, are they?
Nope.
Are they really going to sit down and watch the show to be like, hey, you did wonderful. You know, maybe you'll have, like, the 2% of the negativity people to do that shit. But, like, overall, they're not going to do it. They're just doing it for, like, shits and giggles. And you're there wasting your time, wasting your energy, wasting, you know, your peace when you could be making more content, making more money. And then, you know, they just have to eat their words. They'll stay quiet after a while.
Absolutely right. No, I can't argue with that. When it comes to New Japan, maybe you can try to explain what the allure is. I don't get a lot of it. Like, I enjoy some of the matches, but to me, it's just a whole different world. I don't know why I can't get into it, but there are hardcore fans of New Japan, like you, my buddy Michael Jargo from HMG. There are people that just love this stuff and follow it diligently. First of all, how did you discover New Japan, and what about New Japan do you like?
So before I discovered New Japan, I discovered Kenta and Takeshi Morishima, who was doing the whole Noah and Ring of Honor partnership.
Right.
So whenever Ring of Honor would come here, they would be in attendance. So, like, I got to watch many of their matches. Found out they were part of Noah, got into Noah, and then got into All Japan Pro Wrestling, and then got into New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
I tried to keep up with it as much as I could, fell out here and there, but then, like, got back into New Japan Pro Wrestling when, like, Kenny and the Young Bucks joined Bullet Club and then all of that. New Japan basically has the right storytelling. That's what draws me in, because originally, when I got into, like, watching WWE religiously, it was like guys like The Undertaker and Kane and all the big, larger-than-life characters, because I love that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And in New Japan, they keep the kayfabe going. You don't really know too much of these guys, like, personal lives, because, you know, like, nobody really should. But they have, like, larger-than-life characters. They have, like, really good storylines, even though sometimes it doesn't make sense. But, like, you know, you could definitely enjoy it while you're watching it. So the biggest appeal for me is, like, the story. And then each of these guys have their, like, ambitions and their determinations and the discipline that they go through to, like, be in the system, be the way that they are. And you could definitely feel that it's definitely a fight when you watch the matches. It's definitely a story inside the ring, and, you know, other companies forget how to do that.
True.
But it's story all around. That's the appeal to it.
As far as the matches go, it's more like a sport, right?
Yeah. It's definitely a sport. You know, you don't see the guys do too many high-flying moves unless you have, like, El Desperado versus, like, Hiromu, and, like, Hiromu's going all over the place being crazy.
Yeah.
If you have, like, Robbie Eagles in there doing, like, his high-flying moves, if you have, like, any of the other juniors doing that, that's about it. I was going to be, like, going over to, like, New Japan Strong. You might have a few there, but they focus mainly on, like, you know, technical wrestling. And I'm more of a technical person than I am a high-flying,
right?
Because I'm all about psychology. And telling a good story. You could do, like, 100 flips, but if there's no story behind it, I'm not going to get attached to it. If there's, like, an all-around where it's high-flying, technical, and anything else, then I'll be okay. But I'm more technical.
Yeah, I am too. And that's kind of where I get lost in AEW as well, is, you know, just too many high spots, no selling, no psychology.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, everybody wants to put on a great match. Well, you know, a lot of people can put on a great match, but to me, when I grew up in the 80s, like, it was all, like, it's all about the larger-than-life character. It's all about the stories, like you say. And it's all about drawing the person in by using great psychology and having great stories. But if you're just putting on five-star matches all the time, eventually it gets boring because you've seen it all. Like, what else can they do that you haven't seen before? So, you know, maybe I'll give yeah, New Japan a chance. You know, because maybe I just kind of didn't get it because I don't understand what they're talking about. Like, if I listen to the announcers, I have to pretty much turn it off. So,
Well, I mean, I'm used to Japanese commentary already, so I can, like, understand, like, the context and stuff. But I do love, like, Kevin Kelly and Chris Charlton and Alex Kozlov and Matt. I'm going to get his last name wrong, but it's Aiden English. So apologies if you're listening to this. I don't know how to pronounce your last name. But like those guys that do commentary for the English side, they're all very good, especially like I really adore Chris Charlton because he just translates Japanese to English. Which by the way, a little cheap plug, New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to be on Access TV. So right after Impact, if you want to just tune in and watch the next match, you know, you could definitely do that and like see if you could get into it. They just did Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho at Wrestle Kingdom 12. So yeah, maybe you could just watch some of that and see if you could get into it. Because March 3rd is definitely going to be starting off with New Japan Cup, which is going to be super exciting.
I can tell. I can see the excitement in your face.
Yeah, man.
I will try that. And I'm glad they're back on Access because I know they were there before when you know Jim Ross was doing commentary and he didn't have a great knowledge of the product. So it's kind of hard to follow when he was doing it. But I will. I will give it another chance and I'll report back to you on what I think about it. Because, you know, I like a lot of the talent that comes there. I don't know why, especially WWE, why they kind of don't know how to book Japanese talent, especially when it came to Kenta, who is amazing. And Shinsuke tore it up in NXT and really has kind of floundered on the main roster for quite a while. I mean, I guess he's happy. He's getting a lot of money. He's, you know. But, you know, two remarkable talents that just kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, and by the way, like, you know, when Kenta came back to New Japan Pro Wrestling and, like, he got into Bullet Club, we really saw a different personality side to him that we never saw, like, in NXT. And I was like, yo, you could have missed, you missed your chance for this. As much as the American fans would have been like, this is cringy, like, one of the best cute storylines that he ever did was go after Yoshihashi, who's in Chaos, which is led by Okada, and he's part of the team with Goto and Ishii. Yoshihashi carries a bow staff with him to the ring every time, and I'm only smiling because it's really stupid and funny. So Kenta decided to steal the bow staff and rename it to it's Bo-chan. So he started to started to date it and like just get under the skin of Yoshihashi and like take these like romantic pictures and like do like have these poems up on his Twitter account. And I was like, yo, this is a better love story than Twilight. Like, I'm interested in this. Like, it was just so, you know, like small, sweet type of thing, you know, just to get under his skin.
Yeah.
Eventually, Yoshihashi got the bow back, and Kenta never wants to talk about Bo-chan ever again. but I do know if I ever meet him, I'm bothering him with, hey, how's Bo-chan doing?
That's funny. That's hilarious. See, yeah, that is a side of him we never got to see. And granted, he was injured quite a bit when he was in NXT, but I enjoyed when he became a heel towards the end of his run there, and I thought that was just a breath of fresh air for him. To kind of break out of his shell and do something different. But, yeah, you know, he's a guy that was such a big name in Japan and then just comes here and he's just another guy, you know, especially in that system. It's just really unfortunate that they don't know how to book foreign talent. I mean, as a whole. It's not just Japanese talent. It's foreign talent as a whole. I guess if Vince doesn't think they can cut a promo, he's not going to put any time into him.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I would have to agree. I mean, I've never met Vince when I was at WWE, so I really can't say or add on to that. But, you know, it's whatever he's thinking.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, other people have said, like Cesaro has said it, you know, that, I mean, Cesaro, look at the guy that was huge in Ring of Honor and can do so many amazing things in the ring. And just, you know, for whatever reason, he just never gets pushed to the end. But, you know, it is what it is. As we wrap up here the last 10-20 minutes of the show, let's actually get on the topic of this week, which is the Royal Rumble. We could talk about so many other things. We'll have to do this again so we can touch on other topics. Royal Rumble is one of my favorite events. I always look forward to it every year, even if I can't stand the product anymore. It's still one event that I have to absolutely watch. And I was fortunate to go to one of them in Boston in 2003. Brock Lesnar won the Rumble. It was really, really cool to see. Chris Benoit took on Kurt Angle in an amazing submission match. So I have very, very fond memories of that. But even just as a kid, the first one I ever saw was in 89, and I was 13. And, you know, no internet, no spoilers, no dirt sheets. Oh, well, the dirt sheets were around, but I never subscribed to them. But just not knowing who was going to come out, like, it was just cool. Yeah. It was just really, really cool as when I was a kid. What's the first Rumble you remember watching?
Man, I don't even know. You know, I don't know, man. I'm just gonna date myself and be like, I'm 30, so
okay.
I don't know why that's like a comfort thing to be like, you know, I'm 30. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I really don't remember the first one, which is really bad. I can't answer that one.
Okay.
But I. You know, I don't mind. I research everything in a way. I go back and look at stuff, but I don't remember. I do remember, like, Ring of Honor. I do remember non-Royal Rumble stuff, which is, like, I don't know what pay-per-view it was, but it was definitely Kane and Undertaker in, like, the Inferno match. Mm-hmm. Like, that one is very vivid in my head. But, like, you know, as for, like, the first one of Royal Rumble, I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. Are you a fan of the event? Is it one of your, you know, favorite ones to watch?
My favorite one to watch is always WrestleMania.
Yep.
You know, Royal Rumbles are cool. You know, I get to be like, oh my God, you know, who's coming out next? But it was never like, you know, one of my favorites.
Okay.
I do enjoy having people come over and like watch it with me.
Right.
But like, it's not one of my favorites, but it's one of the like preludes to like go to WrestleMania.
Yeah, kicks off WrestleMania.
Wants to go to WrestleMania.
Yeah, kicks off WrestleMania season. What did you think when Edge came back? Were you shocked? Did you have any idea that he was coming back?
I don't think I had any idea he was coming back. It was cool. You know, inside the whole nostalgia feeling of like, oh my God, it's Edge.
Right.
Because Edge is one of my favorite wrestlers. Unfortunately, Christian is not, even though he's good. yeah. But I just have a thing for guys with long hair. So I was just like, oh, it's Edge. So I was happy that he was back in the Royal Rumble. It was very like interesting.
It was for sure. And the place went crazy. And it was unfortunate that COVID kind of happened, you know, after that. And especially with Drew McIntyre, the poor guy is finally going to realize his dream and he does it in an empty building. That's just, that's heartbreaking to see. The whole pandemic was weird. What did you feel about the whole thing in 2020?
I was immediately scared because it's like, what the fuck? We're in a pandemic. Like, you know, it just happened all too quickly where we were all on lockdown.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to make sure that people are okay and, you know, follow whatever guidelines and stuff like that. So, like, you know, I try to make it the best situation that I can. Being at home.
Yeah, for sure. What did you think of the wrestling as a whole, whether it was AEW or WWE? Should they have continued? Were you happy that they were still putting stuff out? Or what were your feelings on the products during that year?
I mean, I was happy that the wrestling was still going on, even though that might sound selfish to those who are watching. just because of, like, wrestling is my whole world.
Right.
Like, if I didn't have wrestling, I would either, like, finally be writing more novels and stuff like that because I do have my writing degree.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I don't know anything else. I don't know basketball, even though I had to learn on the fly because I had a basketball job that I had to work in a past life of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like, without wrestling, I'm basically nothing in a way. So I'm still happy that, like, they decided to continue.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, as a kid, you know, my parents got divorced when I was 13, so I just gravitated towards wrestling, like, just threw everything in, just to escape the bullshit that was going on around me.
Yeah.
Just wrestling was my go-to, was my escape, where I could just watch it and watch it and watch it. And that's why I still have a love for it, even if, and I never thought I would stop watching from week to week. Like, I was always that guy that was watching Raw, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck how much it sucks. I'm still going to watch it because that's what I've done for 30 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then last year, I was like, God damn, I can't do it anymore. Like, it just, for me, a lifelong fan, to be like, I got to timeout, because this shit sucks.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But with my mindset is to help everyone and anyone to try to get themselves over. That's why, like, it never, like, died with me. Like, I never had a period in my life where, like, it declined. No, right. Like, I knew from an early age, one way or another, I was going to be in the wrestling business. Mm-hmm. And bam, I fucking followed it. And, like, I made my dreams come true, and I'm still doing that. My goal has obviously changed a little bit after, like, getting the WWE dream.
Right.
And now it's more, like, just helping the boys behind, you know, behind the scenes. You know, helping companies behind the scenes. You know, working for another company to be, like, an idea person, a booker, a commentator. So, like, I still have this drive to still make, to make sure that the business is going to be, like, really good, like, in, like, for years to come. So that's why, like, it's never going to, like, leave me.
Yeah, I love that. And maybe that just comes with being 30 and being ambitious and young and hungry, whereas I'm just an old grumpy fuck and I didn't get to live out my dreams, and maybe I'm a little bit bitter because of that. But as a, you know, to kind of commentate or give my opinion of wrestling every week during a review show, I did it for the first 3 years I podcasted, and eventually I was like, I'm tired of my intelligence getting insulted every week. I just can't do it anymore. It's not what I grew up on. This isn't my type of wrestling. Maybe it's passed me by. I don't, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but for the most part, you're seeing a lot of fans lately just kind of, you're either one side or the other. And it's the weirdest time to be a fan right now, even though they say it's the best time to be a fan because all the choices that we have. But it seems like, especially on Twitter, which is so fucking toxic, you're either pro WWE or you're pro AEW, and fuck the other one. Like, fuck everybody else. Yep. Like, nobody else matters. Yep. Like, where did that start? Why? Like, why is that a thing?
I don't know, man. This is what happens when people have too much time on their hands and they think that they can go around and say whatever they want with no consequence.
Yeah, with no repercussions. So, like, at all. Yeah.
You know, is that?
I don't know. People suck. They really do. Like, I just, some people just. Some people just need to not be on Twitter anymore, for real. Like, I mean, some people just love giving people shit. Like, for whatever reason, that's all they're there to do. They make up fake accounts or parody accounts, or they don't have any profile pictures or whatever. They just created their profile this month to go fuck with somebody. It's just, it's a weird place. Like, wrestling Twitter is so, so weird. And you don't see it, like, anywhere else in life, pretty much. But for whatever reason, it's just, again, you're one side or the other. Like, why can't we just like everything? Why can't we like AEW and WWE? Why does it have to be one or the other? Like, I don't know. I missed the boat when it comes to that. I really don't understand it. Are you looking forward to the Rumble coming up this week?
Yeah, because I have some bold predictions.
Oh, you do? Well, let's hear them.
So, I kept saying on Twitter that Mustafa Ali is probably going to enter into the Rumble, and he might end up winning it.
Okay.
Because it makes no sense for someone to, like, tweet or email a journalist saying that Vince denied his request.
Right.
Like, I would think that's a little confidential. True. To, like, send out in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get it. Mustafa Ali put out a video saying that he wants to do something bigger than WWE. He has another passion, and he asked for his release. But he doesn't get it. So maybe this is like a what if storyline, you know, because it's creating buzz. Yep. So why not throw him in the Rumble, make him throw over the 29 other guys and win the Rumble and go on to WrestleMania and finally, like, push him the way that he needs to be pushed. He's been putting out training videos, but he hasn't been saying a word.
Right.
So I'm just like, you know, WWE is working us. The second bold prediction for the Women's Royal Rumble is that Toni Storm is probably going to show up and, you know, win the Rumble and probably go on to WrestleMania, because I still don't think that, again, somebody will be emailing another person and be like, oh, she left, went to the airport and went home. Whoa, did this person see her leave? Did they, like, go through her belongings and be like, oh, look, it's an airplane ticket. Oh, so let me go text somebody this confidential information or whatever it is that probably should never got out. Or the other thing, too, is that she never released an official statement saying that she's gone from the company or that she decided to leave. No one has booked her on a podcast to talk about that incident. And then also, WWE never put out a statement either saying that at this time, Toni Storm and WWE has parted ways. So, like, we're getting worked here. And I just think that, like, Mustafa Ali and Toni Storm will be in the Rumble respectfully, men and women, to win and go on to WrestleMania.
Now, is that just coming from, you know, are you hypercritical about things? Like, do you always think that everything's a work? You know what I mean? Because it's a strange business, and we've seen a lot of weird shit over the years. Do you kind of just question everything that you see from, you know, nowadays?
No, but I question things when they don't add up, okay. When they don't make sense, when there's like loopholes in there, and the loopholes are big. If the loopholes are like tiny, I'll just be like, okay, whatever it is. So I'm not always like hypercritical of like stuff that happens in wrestling, because I get it. You know, sometimes I want to be along for the ride, but if something doesn't add up, if something doesn't make sense, then I'm going to be like questioning it, to be like, you guys need to learn how to ask the real questions and not the soft questions. So yeah.
I love that. You're so smart. You really are. Like, you're very analytical. Like, I love how you like kind of break things down and kind of think of all outside the box and take all the facts into it. Cause to me, I was like, ah, fuck it. They're gone. Like, I put no other thought into it, but you're sitting here like putting the pieces together and like putting up the wall, like the, this goes with this.
Like I did that with the whole, like, me talking about the TK situation with him and Big Swole, and then having to do a rebuttal because someone didn't like what I said. And I was like, yo, here's some more questions. Like, think about this stuff. Think about that. Like, you know, I'm okay when, like, things go smoothly. But the moment that red flags sort of pop up, yo, I got questions.
Yeah.
Because, like, if I have these red flags, someone else has the red flags, but they don't got the balls to ask them, I'm going to go ask them.
That's smart. That's really smart. Do you think, like, what was the whole deal with, like, Drake Maverick? Do you really think he was ever let go originally, or they saw his sad video and they're like, oh, fuck it, we need him for the Cruiserweight tournament, or we'll bring him back? Like, is that another situation? Like, it was a work the whole time, maybe?
That one was clever. That one was cleverly made. I don't think they talked about it beforehand. I think it was like, you know, they probably let him go because they probably didn't have like anything creative. And then the moment that he made the video and it got all that buzz, they were like, oh, we got to do something with this. Like, probably Triple H had a hand in it. And then they did what they did. And then, like, he came back.
Right.
And then they let him go again. only for him to be like, yo, we've been here before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that one was just like, clever, guys, clever.
Do you think maybe the Ali thing is kind of along the same lines?
Yeah, because he hasn't said a word since the report came out that Vince denied him his release.
Yeah.
Like, what? Because, like, honestly, if someone, like, denies you a release when you, like, ask, when you kind of make a video and sort of ask respectfully,
right?
You know, there should have been, like, another video, something leading us more to that. True. The only thing that he did was put up a picture of, like, stuff burning him in front of it. So then that was like, yep, you're probably going to be in the Rumble. You're going to watch everything burn, and you're probably going to be the winner.
Well, I mean, it was the whole retribution thing, right? Like, he kind of changed his whole profile. Like, he went dark, and then he came back with this mystery account or whatever like that, and that failed. I mean, that they could have had a really good run with that if they didn't just turn it so cheesy and hokey, and they ruined that whole thing. But I would like to see him back. He's a fantastic talent. And, you know, Daniel Bryan loved him. Daniel Bryan tried to push him to the moon. If he didn't get hurt, I mean, who knows what would happen to him during that time.
And fun fact, Mustafa Ali and myself share the same birthday.
Oh, you do? So, well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was happy about that.
That's pretty cool. So, bold predictions aside, if you had to kind of go with your gut to where they may be leaning right now, who do you think wins the men and women Rumble other than those two?
Let's see. Seth Rollins has been making like a really big, big noise.
Yeah.
But I really want Kevin Owens to like finally get his day, man. Like, I remember watching him live in Ring of Honor. I remember being there where he almost killed himself and oh, Generico.
Yeah.
During this ladders tables match, and like, Kevin Owens deserves to win it this year to go on to WrestleMania. And then over for the women's side, I would want Toni Storm as always, okay. but Natalia needs to like get that fucking push. She's been there like forever and she's been like a staple. And, you know, sometimes like the Hart family gets like fucked over and it's like, they Vince got to stop that shit.
True.
So yeah, just push Natalia.
she's been there long enough. And you're right. And if they haven't pulled the trigger yet, there has to be a good reason why. And maybe it is because of, you know, Vince sticking it to the Hart family after all these years again. Have you heard rumors of Ronda Rousey coming back? That's kind of the buzz going around right now that she's going to win and then face Becky at WrestleMania.
Man, I think when I was in like a Twitter spaces, like someone probably had mentioned it, but you know, I just wish that sometimes the fans wouldn't push, newly mothers, so fast back into the ring, even though like, you know, yes, I understand it's your body, your choice. You know, if you feel good, if you want to come back, that's great. But at the same time, like at least, you know, stay at home, relax a little bit. You know, you could always come back. Like your spot is not really taken. Because we could definitely see that probably WWE has a place for you. If not, someone else has a place for you. So, like, you know, wrestlers out there, don't think your spot is taken. It's not the 80s anymore.
That's exactly right. No, you're right about that. And, you know, we kind of saw with the Bellas, too. Like, Brie and Nikki want to come back. And supposedly they're going to be back this year. And, I mean, at this point, why? You have your kids. You have your family. You've been out for a few years. Just enjoy your life. You know, you have your brand that you work in other areas. They have their clothing line, they have their wine and all that. Like, why do you still need to come back? It's just the rush of the crowd. Well, you think
that too, but I'll tell you this, that
the payday for one, right?
Well, yeah, that's one thing, but the other thing too is that like when you start wrestling and start doing it and taking those bumps, you sort of just want to stay. Like you know, even though like I suck at my bumps, I tell this to everybody, like I suck at my bumps because it's hard to tell your brain, just fall, you'll be okay.
Yeah, right.
No. The only thing that I like doing is running the ropes, and I kind of miss that. And I sort of want to go back into the ring just to do that one exercise. Like once you start and you get that first taste of it, you kind of want to come back.
No, I get it. Roddy Piper put out his book several years ago, and he said it's an addiction. It's just something you can't get out of your blood, no matter how old you are, no matter what you've done. It'll always be there. That's why we do see a lot of people stick around maybe too long. Ric Flair. that guy's going to die in the ring. I swear to God. Like, he's going to be the only one, like, well, other than Owen. But
it's Terry Funk.
Terry Funk, too. Terry has retired like 35 times.
Yeah.
He's on death's doorstep. No, he's still, you know, book me next week, brother. Like, it's just, they can't help themselves, right? Yeah, you're right. It is, you know, what they call the sickness. And again, I'm jealous because I never got in a ring before, and at least you got to get in the ring, so no.
I even built the ring too. That shit is heavy.
I bet it is. Yeah. I've talked to several referees that said, man, that shit is hard work. But it's cool that you got to experience that as a wrestling fan. Yeah. Like, that is a really cool thing, and I am happy that you got to do stuff like that, and hopefully you got better stuff to come. Like I said, you're young, you're hungry, you love the business, so the sky's the limit for you. Just keep working hard, keep networking like you do, and hopefully we'll see you on the big stage again. Would you ever want to go back to WWE, or would you welcome a chance?
I mean, if I needed the money, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
I would, because money is money at that point.
Right.
But ultimately, like, my goal is to get signed by New Japan Pro Wrestling.
That's cool.
Or MLW or Impact Wrestling. AEW went down the pole to basically the last idea.
Yeah.
But New Japan is like where I would love to like help out.
That's really cool. I mean, do you like the culture as well? I mean, other than wrestling, like, is it just cool? You just want to live there?
I mean, I don't want to live in Japan. I'll go visit.
Okay, I got you.
I'll go visit because, you know, they have, like, cooler things. And then also Japan also kind of, like, cultivates all the creative side of, like, you know, the people who live there. Unlike America, America is like, oh, you do creative stuff? You're going to starve. Over in Japan, at least you get something, right? At least somebody will invest in you and be like, you know, go do creative stuff. But over here in America, it's like you got to, like, beg in order to survive. So it's like the culture, you know, I just want to experience stuff and I want to get out of New York City. So like, I just want to go and travel and like, you know, just help out.
That's cool. That's really cool. Be young and have dreams. I wish I could be in that position again. It goes by fast. Like, trust me, I'm sure you've heard this from a lot of people already, but like it literally goes by fast. 40, 50 will be here before you know it. It sucks and it's scary, but enjoy the shit right now that you're doing because it's fleeting. I wish I had 15 years back to be in your shoes. There's so much more with the hindsight now that I have and the knowledge I have now. If I could have had that knowledge back in you know, at your age. God, I sound like my fucking dad.
Okay, man. It's all right. We're having a moment. It's good.
We are having a moment.
It's good.
But God, I never thought I'd be in this position.
I basically, like, you know, sort of want to inspire people to, like, still do what they got to do because it's not over until, like, you know, you take your last breath, unfortunately.
True. No, but, that's true.
You know, there's still time. You still have ways to try to get your hobbies in and, right. like, your dreams in. And all you need is that one person to make the right connection. And then, bam, you know, you kind of take off. That's why I love the fact of how I network and how I, you know, get on other people's shows. And I'm very grateful to other people to be a part of my journey. I'm grateful to be part of, like, your network and, like, this journey, this whole entire thing, too. So, like, you know, whatever I know, I like sharing it with other people because I want to make sure that we all eat at the end of the day rather than trying to, like, gatekeep and be like, oh, no, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Like, no, the person is trying. Like, let them try. Let them fail. And then, like, we'll come back to the drawing board and be like, all right, let's work on your strengths and weaknesses. That's how I approach making my stories and scripts for professional wrestling and try to get noticed. But, yeah, like, we're all here because we love this shit.
That's true. God, I wish there were more people like you. I really do. you have a great outlook on things where, you know, just people are so fucking negative sometimes. I can't even stand anymore. But I wish more people had your, you know, mindset and just love of life and just want to explore, instead of just complaining about shit all the time.
I sort of thought about all this during lockdown because finally, like, you know, living in a freaking city that always changes and getting up, doing a routine, going to work, making the money, making sure that, like, your rent is paid, you got food, you got this, you got that. The moment that lockdown happened, you're sort of like, what the fuck do I do?
Right.
Yeah. I was moving so fast. What the fuck do I do? So, like, during that time and then, like, having the experiences that I was having with still trying to go to wrestling shows, still trying to do my own thing, experiencing, like, my dad passing and shit like that. So, like, all that in my mind was like, yo, just go out there and live your life. Yeah. Like, don't stop for shit. Like, do what you ever wanted to do and just do it. Like, even if people say, oh, you suck, just give them the middle finger and move the fuck on.
That's right.
Like, just do that. But I had all this time to think about this shit. So, yeah.
I miss the New York mentality. I really do. I mean, I grew up pretty close to it. And just that's just the Northeast way of life, really. Like, don't let people hold you down. If they don't like you, fuck them. It's not your problem. Yeah, it really is. I love that. Well, I'm glad that you're able to come on this show, and I'm also glad that you're able to syndicate your show with this network and get more ears on the product, because you do have a fantastic show, and that is the Squared Circle Podcast, which you've been doing for a few years now, which you can find on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or right here on Spreaker at the Rab Radio Network. Where can people find you on Twitter?
You can definitely follow me at @Marie_Shadows, where I love talking about wrestling 24/7.
Do you have an Instagram as well?
No.
I don't get Instagram. I don't.
I mean, like, you know, I have for, like, a different thing, but no.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, no, I haven't. I've never really used it that much. I don't get it. I'm still on Facebook, for fuck's sake. So, yeah, anyways. Well, Marie, I absolutely appreciate you being here. It was fun talking to you. We're definitely going to get together and do more shows together. Because I really do love your mind for the business, and I just kind of want to step inside your head for a while and just kind of look around and you know, see what's going on there, because you have a great outlook and you have great insight on wrestling stuff that I don't even think of, and I've been watching for fucking 30 years, but it's always good to get a fresh opinion and
yeah, you know, I appreciate that so much. I don't mind. We could link up again and, like, do it, and then you know, I'll be all giddy and everything. So, yeah. If you ever name your episodes, you're going to have to put, like, Marie Shadows Smiles a Lot. Because it gets me excited if you're going to be picking my brain about, like, certain things of whatever we're going to discuss.
Gotcha. Well, we'll definitely have to do more of that because, yeah, I do enjoy talking to you. So, guys, I appreciate your support. We'll be back tomorrow, day 3 of the Rad Rumble. will be RTW main event with the Ocho and myself. Until then, guys, thanks for listening and thanks for watching on YouTube, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of RTW Rewind. For all the latest news and announcements, please follow us on Twitter at RTW Brand. You can also follow Rad Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. You've been listening to RTW Rewind exclusively here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.